Slice Your Age, episode 38.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hi, this is superfan Melissa from Detroit. I am sitting on my deck sweating it up, just back from a run. I just did Dr. Dave's recommended magic 4 miles. I'm 42 and feel 32. I'm slicing my age listening to Dr. Dave each week. Thanks so much, Dr. Dave.
Melissa, you are so very welcome. Thanks so much for that. And if anybody wants to call in on our Slice Your Age hotline, that number is 410-429-7190. I am Dr. David Matto, and this is Slice Your Age. Welcome back, everybody. It's fantastic to have each and every one of you. The show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. And we've been doing this. This is episode number 38 right now. And I am excited. Got a great show for you today. Yoko is still in Japan, so she's not going to be co-hosting with me today. So it's you got me and you got my guest. I've got a great guest coming in. I'm going to bring her in just a few minutes. But we've got a few things we need to talk about before I bring her in. And she's going to be good. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be a fantastic time here today. A few things though. Remember, I love hearing from everybody. We get questions on Facebook. We get them on our website. Facebook is simply facebook.com/sliceyourage. If you have a question, get me there. Or you can reach me on our sliceyourage.com page. A lot of stuff going on there, by the way. I wanted to show you something. I got to go over to Slice Your Age right now. Sliceyourage.com. Okay. Many of you know that I am a dentist by profession. I do not practice dentistry anymore. I do not see patients. I have not done it in quite some time. I help dentists become more successful in their practices. And that's a great time doing that. But one of the things I do know a lot about is teeth and health. And I've got to tell you something that I discovered, I'm thinking probably 15 to 20 years ago. I've been using this product for a long time, and I just called this company and asked them if they would want to put something up on my website because I believe in it so much. And it's an all-natural toothpaste. You can't get this in the stores anywhere. You can only get it online. It's by an amazing company called Dental Herb Company. It's totally natural. Not only is it totally natural, but there's no animal testing going on with any of their products. It's the best toothpaste I've ever used in my life. They've agreed to actually put a little something on my website under products. When you go to my website, click on cool products, and we've got it down listed under my book. What they're willing to do, if you want to buy the tooth and gums paste or the really cool tonic, it's a mouth rinse that they offer. They'll give my listeners a 10% discount. You got to use a discount code SLICE. It's very simple, SLICE, when you go to their website. And to get to their website, you just go to my page. It is, of course, sliceyourage.com, and scroll down under cool products, and there's a link right to their page. But, you know, again, I'm not making any money off of this. I know the company. I believe the company. It's not a moneymaker for me, but I believe in it so much. I communicated with them and talked to one of the head guys the other day, and he agreed to, let's put something on your website. Let's give it a shot. Let's see if your listeners like it. So it's a great product. If you want your breath and mouth and teeth and gums just to be feeling really, really healthy, and looking good too, I would recommend this tooth and gums paste, tooth and gums tonic, to go to my website. And remember, I love when you stay in touch with me, the ways, go to my website. I talked about one. Facebook, I already talked about that. My email is sliceyourage@gmail.com. And if you so desire, if you want to do me a favor, if you want to give back to the podcast, I would really appreciate it if you could get over to iTunes and give Slice Your Age, the podcast, a review. If you think it's 5 stars, go ahead and click on 5 beautiful stars there. Give it an honest review, however you feel, whatever you think about it, give it a review. I really can use more reviews, and it helps the show so much because the more people review my show on iTunes, the more iTunes actually gets it out there to people that are searching for it. So it really is a big help if you can do that. And getting back to the website for a second, I don't know how many of you have noticed when you go to any page on the right-hand side, there's kind of a column that has a bunch of things. Join my mailing list, subscribe with iTunes, subscribe to my podcast, a lot of stuff there. Several, like maybe five little buttons down, there's a little thing that says donate. And I don't make a big deal out of this. It just says help keep our podcast and site going with a donation. No amount is too small. It will send you instant karma. We had a really nice donation the other day, just came in, and I just want to publicly thank, his name is Guru Trang Singh Khalsa, a longtime listener who just maybe stumbled upon the donate button, and he was kind enough to click that button and donate a little bit to the show. So every little bit helps. As I've told you before, I kind of do this all on my own, and you know, there's a lot of equipment involved and time involved as well. So, you know, and again, you don't have to do anything. I welcome you to keep listening at all, and there's zero requirement or zero pressure to ever donate anything. But if you just feel so inclined, if you want to, click the button and I will give you a shout out if you like. So enough said for that. Let's see, what else do we have? One more thing before I bring my guest in. Last week's show, I told all my listeners that I've got a really cool report called 12 Baby Steps. These are 12 things that you need to be doing if you just don't really know where to start and you just need some guidance and need some structure. All you have to do is go to my website again, sliceyourage.com, click on the 12 baby steps. It's right on the front page, right on the home page there. 12 baby steps to the best shape of your life. Click on that and you will immediately get that report into your email box. And again, it's totally free. I don't charge for it. I just love helping. And so please get it and enjoy it. And let me know how it works out for you, because I'm pretty certain it's going to work really well. So give it a shot. Having said all of that, I don't think I've missed anything. Let's see if I've got anything else I wanted to say. No, I think I've said it all. So are you ready for my guest today? Well, let's go ahead and introduce her. And here she is. Her name is Stacy Hassing. And Stacy is first of all, I'll tell you where she's from. She's over in Easton, Minnesota. And she's a real food dietitian. So Stacy, thanks so much for being on the show today. How's it going?
Going good. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, well, it's a pleasure. This is going to be so much fun because Stacy, I've got to tell you something. You are the first dietitian I've had on my show on Slice Your Age, and you're certainly the first real food dietitian. Now, is there such thing as like fake food dietitians, people that kind of fake their licenses, or what's the story with that whole thing?
No. So I consider myself a real food dietitian because I have, my approach is all about wholesome, real food eating, and I want people to associate that with me, is that when they come to me with questions, they know that I am going to provide them with recommendations based around real food, whole foods.
Okay. So I've got to ask you though. So are there dietitians that like base their, base what they do around foods that are not like whole foods? Like they really specialize in processed foods?
Well, unfortunately, you're going to find a lot of different practices and different ways people preach their knowledge with dietitians, because oftentimes growing, you know, learning and being educated to be a dietitian, you learn a lot about, you know, heart health. Well, you're supposed to consume a low fat diet with still, you know, margarine instead of butters, or egg substitute instead of whole egg. So there's a lot of what I'm finding, a lot of misconceptions and a lot of variations of how different dietitians are teaching nutrition and health.
Okay, so as long as we know you are the real food dietitian, we're good. We're good. And Stacy, I've got to tell you something, because I want to start the show off. First of all, you've heard Slice Your Age plenty of times. You know about my listeners are just really kind of on the edge of their seats. They love learning. They hang with me on every episode. So our goal is to just share so much great information with our listeners today. So I'm really excited that you're on, because I wanted to tell you something. I literally 2 hours ago, I just got something, and I kind of got it on a whim. I saw somebody that works at my office had one, and I had to try it. And it is I don't think you can guess, so I'll just tell you what it is. It's a Nutribullet. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I've heard of the Nutribullet.
Let me tell you something. I am so excited, because I don't see, here's the thing. I think Nutribullet must have infomercials all over TV, because like even on the packaging it said like as seen on TV, and it looks like some kind of infomercial thing. Now I never watch TV. It's so rare that I turn a TV on, so I didn't really see it on TV. But I saw, like I said, I saw somebody in my office using it, and it looked so cool. So I just went out and grabbed one at Target today, actually, and I'm looking at this thing, and I've got to tell you something. And my listeners, this Nutribullet, if you're not familiar with it, it's like this kind of like a blender processor that you put, I think anything in it you want. You can put like leafy green vegetables, you can put fruit, and then you turn it over and you put it right on the, no, you put it right in this, in this little thing that sits on the blender, and you just push it down and the thing starts blending. And you have to add water. I forgot to tell you that, water or some type of a, of course, some type of an energy drink or something like that. And the whole thing is kind of self-contained. It's kind of harder to explain, but then you just take the thing off and you snap a handle on it and you just drink out of this little thing that you just blended in. This is going to open up like a brand new dimension to my healthy eating, Stacy, you know, it's the little things in life that really excite me. And I got to tell you can probably tell in my voice, I am super, I should say uber excited today.
It definitely sounds like you are very excited.
I think this thing has the potential to change my life. I'm not kidding.
I've heard very good things about it.
So Stacy, I'm looking at this thing. I basically just took it out of the package today, and so I'm faced with this like this cup type structure. I've got to put water in, and it's recommending like leafy green vegetables and fruits. So if you were me, what's like some of the first stuff you just throw in the thing and make your first shake or first smoothie? I'm going to write this down because I don't know what to put in, but I'm going to listen to you, the real food dietitian.
Well, I would have to say I love starting off with a banana would be great, a frozen banana. You always have to keep those in your freezer because they're so easy to add to shakes. Definitely a green, whether it's spinach or kale, would be my top two greens. I would add in maybe some almond milk or coconut milk. I would also add in maybe a little bit of almond butter or some sort of nut butter, I think always gives a good flavor, and probably a few more different berries too. So it'd be kind of like a banana berry green smoothie.
Guess what? Everything you just mentioned, I have in my fridge or in my pantry. Everything you just mentioned, I've got. So I wrote this down. I'm gonna do that this afternoon. I'm gonna make a smoothie. So is it called a smoothie or what would you call that? A smoothie?
Yeah, I'd probably call it like a green smoothie.
Okay, and I might throw some flaxseed in or like chia seeds or something
chia
like
seeds.
That. Yeah,
chia seeds would be good too.
You can tell them I'm into this. Now, my listeners, we can report back next episode maybe how this thing went. I should probably even do this live on the show, but I'm not going to do that. But this is like buying health. I mean, you walk into a Target or you can go on Amazon or you can get it anywhere really, and you come out of there with this Nutribullet and you start throwing healthy things in there. Yeah, I said water at first, but yeah, I think the almond milk would be much better, almond milk or soy milk or something like that. And
exactly.
You're like drinking health as many times during the day as you want. It's just, this is okay. I'm excited. I'm going to stop now, but I'm really, really excited.
Let me add one thing.
Please.
So
yeah.
The thing I like about using like a Nutribullet or a good blender, and you're making a smoothie. So you're keeping, you're not getting rid of any of the nutrients, the fiber. When we, for example, if we're juicing, we're removing a lot of the nutrients, and not that it's always a bad thing, but I think having smoothies is more beneficial than having juice because you're holding all the nutrients in those foods, the fiber, the vitamins, minerals, everything. So I love the idea of making smoothies.
Hey, great point there, Stacy. I've got some friends and they're really into health and they juice. And so like a lot of them sometimes every morning they'll tell me what they're juicing. But I know when you juice, the liquid comes out only, and all that pulp, all the fiber, all that stuff that I think probably has a ton of nutrients is disposed of. And I've always wondered, and I've researched it, and some, you know, you go on some websites and they say juicing is great, and you go on others and they say no, you know, you're losing a lot of the nutrients. So I never really knew the answer, but I can tell you with this Nutribullet, you're not throwing anything out, so it's got to be good. I mean, I don't think there's any debate. There's everything you're drinking is good and healthy.
I would have to agree.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. I'm really excited about that. So, let's see. We're gonna have some fun. It's pretty funny. A little while ago, it wasn't really not funny, but a little while ago, I went on Facebook and asked some of my followers and listeners, if they had any questions, I said, I'm going to have a real food dietitian. I didn't say real food, but I said dietitian on my show. And I said, so if you have any questions that you've always wanted to ask a dietitian, ask away. And so we have a few questions, and I'll probably ask you as the show progresses. And I'm sure you will do a great job answering that. But so let's just back up for a few seconds though, before we get into some of the questions. Let's talk about people in this country. Now, when I say this country, I'm talking about the U.S., and I have to say that because we have a lot of listeners from all over the world, a lot in not only the U.S., but Canada, a ton in the U.K., Australia, we've got Japan, we've got Israel, Saudi Arabia, they're all over the place. So when I say this country, everybody, listeners, I'm referring to the U.S., but I'm kind of referring to the average first world country, because I think we're all people and we're all kind of the same. I know that so many people in the U.S. and all over are clinically obese now. I mean, I think the statistics, the latest statistics, are like a third of the population is obese. And, you know, so as a nation, we're getting fatter. And along with that comes like diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, cancer. I can just go on and on. You know what I'm talking, you know. But so as a dietitian, do you think it's purely food that's doing this to our country or to the population of any country, or what's going on? Why are we getting fatter, and what should we do to stop this mess?
Well, Dave, as a dietitian, one thing I always repeat over and over is that I truly believe the foundation of our health starts with our food choices. I feel that what we put into our body is a huge indicator of our health, our longevity, how we feel, our energy, everything. So I do believe that it definitely starts with what we're choosing to eat. But I also think, and I'm sure we all know this, is that over the last how many years, our activity level has reduced tremendously. And I think that's, obviously another huge reason for the obesity epidemic. There's too much video games. There's too many video games. There's too many, kids on their phones. So that, I think it's just a combination, but I'd have to say it's probably not purely from food, but I think food is a huge part of that. The reason for obesity, and just thinking about the portion sizes of, you look at how large a portion size was 50 years ago to today. And it's increased quite tremendously, which is very scary, very unfortunate, and it's something that we have to put an end to.
So as a kid, I'm pretty old these days, but as a kid, I was growing up when these fast food places such as McDonald's, and we had some local ones that were just kind of in this Baltimore area, but McDonald's was the big one, and then Burger King came along. And so as a young kid, I was even thinking to myself, I don't think I even expressed this to anybody else. I think I was already thinking about health when I was younger, but I was kind of thinking to myself, like, what's going to happen to people if like this fast food fad like really catches on, and instead of having like really good home cooked meals and people really paying attention to nutrition, if people just start eating a lot of their meals at fast food restaurants, and what would happen like if people started eating most of their meals at fast food restaurants? Well, so many years later now, my question is kind of coming true. I'm seeing the answer to my question, because it's many years later, and I got to tell you, I think a lot of it is due, you're totally right. A lot of it's due to inactivity, but a lot of it is due to our fast foods, our dietary habits. Everything is supersized. Mm-hmm. I mean, even back in the old days, when you went to McDonald's, the largest thing you could possibly get there was a Big Mac. Now you go into these fast food restaurants and they've got things that are so supersized. I don't even know how to explain them. They're so tremendous. And these big gulps and these tremendous drinks. I mean, I'll tell you, I personally will never step into a McDonald's I take it back. There are two reasons I would ever step into a McDonald's. Number one, if I'm traveling and I need to get free Wi-Fi. And number two, to use the restroom. Otherwise, there's nothing for me in a McDonald's. And I hope my listeners feel the same way. We don't have a whole lot of rules here, Stacey, but I tell my listeners to please stay away from that fast food. But also, like, everything is, is we got corn sweeteners and everything. It's just, it's a nation that's just, we're adding so much junk to our foods, and everything is sweet, and everybody wants fat and salt. And I think that's what's going on. And somehow I hope all the dietitians can get together and maybe stop this epidemic.
We are definitely trying. And I think another, you know, something to add to that is the lifestyles, you know, a lot of us live very busy lifestyles, and many of us are reaching out to those very convenient foods, and those very convenient foods are not always the best for us. And, or they just go towards the convenient foods that aren't, you know, that are very processed, that have all these crazy ingredients in them. So I always say, if you're going for a convenient food, the number one thing you should always look at is the ingredients list. Once you have that, once you know every single ingredient that's listed, then, you know, check the grams of sugar and check whatever else. But the first thing you should always look at is what I recommend that you look at on a food label is the ingredients, because you should know what you're putting into your body. And I always encourage that with my clients, my listeners, my followers, because I think it's so important.
So are you saying, okay, I can understand like going into a grocery store and looking at the ingredients on a box or on a can or a package, something like that. But are you recommending also, if you go into like a restaurant or a fast food restaurant, to somehow ask for see what the ingredients are there? Is that possible to do?
Well, you know, I think if you go, you probably, yes, it is. If you go online, especially to the chain restaurants, most often you will find an ingredient list. But unfortunately, the ingredient list, you're going to have a very difficult time finding one that's readable and, you know, ingredients that you understand that don't look like they should be in a chemistry experiment. So I always recommend if you're out and about and you need to get something quick, I'd rather you go to a convenience store, a gas station, and pick up almonds, hard-boiled eggs. You know, they always have fruit. There's always better options available in a place like a gas station. So that's what I would recommend versus a restaurant, because too often, even if it is a healthier option, you look at those ingredients and you find that it's probably not the best choice after all.
So now when you're talking about restaurant, are you talking about fast food restaurants in general, or like you pretty much try to stay away from every restaurant because they're all large portions and heavily salted and fat? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I would say mostly, I mean, I think I'm generally speaking, but of course, I do believe that there are some, you know, there are different like local restaurants I always seek out that I, you know, before I go out to eat, I always look at it, and I'm in a new city or new town, I always try to look up, you know, farm to table restaurant or local restaurant, because you can find quite a few hidden gems that have some really good local grown, local produced food, which is what I like to support and what I like to put into my body. So
what are you looking for? If you go into a restaurant, first of all, let me ask, okay, what's your favorite meal to eat in a restaurant? Would you look for, let's say you're looking for, well, would you tell me what your favorite meal is? Breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
So I'm a breakfast person, so I love going to, you know, if I'm going to a restaurant for breakfast, it's always very simple. It might be two whole fried eggs or an omelet, veggie omelet, and always a side of fruit. I try to, you know, stay away from anything. Like the potato, if they have a sweet potato, I'll go for that. But I love, you know, having a veggie omelet with a side of fruit. I think that's a perfect combination, and that's something I would make at home too. I also am always looking for different types of, you know, salads that I know have, you know, good source or a good variety of vegetables, and maybe an olive oil vinegar based dressing. So I always look for that, or just something so well-balanced, perfectly balanced meal is what I call them, where it has a little bit of protein, some veggies, maybe a healthy starch, like a sweet potato or some brown rice or something along those lines.
Now, so you could get, like, let's say everything you just said, basically, if you walked into like a diner or something, do you have diners over in Minnesota?
Yes, we have diners or of similar
I know we're laughing at that. I have to ask, you know, sometimes, because like diners are like really, really popular on the East Coast, and I know they've got a lot in California, but like I think sometimes when you get more towards the Midwest, I think diners are not like as common. I mean, you get into like New Jersey and like on every block there's a diner. So but over in Easton, now tell me where Easton, Minnesota is exactly, because I'm familiar with, of course, the Twin Cities. So where are you in Easton?
It's about 2 hours south of the Twin Cities, and it's literally smack dab in the middle, right on the Iowa and Minnesota border. So we're on the Minnesota side, but it's literally like right in the middle of the state on the Iowa border, pretty much. Does that make sense?
Totally. Okay. Yeah. Got, okay. I got you now. And you still.
And it's like a town of 200, and I'm not even in town. I live out in the country. So.
Wow. So a town of 200, you must know everybody in the town.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you know?
It's a big farming community. So.
So do you know all their eating habits? Everybody in the town, you know who eats healthy, who does not eat healthy?
I could maybe pick them out. I keep my eye on them. No, I'm just kidding.
Stacy, do you have any, well, tell me first of all about your clients. Like you say, you have clients. I know you've got followers. You got your Facebook page, which by the way is really cool. And you got a ton of followers on your Facebook page. But as far as like clients locally, what do you actually do with a typical client? Because I will tell you, somebody actually, and I can actually even read the question now. Amy Lynn is one of our like really super followers and fans and listeners. And she asked the question, when is the right time to see a dietitian? So like, do you have people in your area that somehow seek you out and use you as like a personal dietitian for like a period of time? Tell us how that whole thing works.
Right. So I actually work in a hospital clinic setting as well. So all the clients I see local they come to the hospital to see me. And if they're not local, then I see them through Skype, through phone call, online, whatever, through email. So I can actually help quite a few, or I have, I guess, a handful of clients that are not just local, but they're all over. So, I always think it's better, you know, when you know you want to make a change and you're unsure, you know, where to start, I think that's a great time to see a dietitian. One thing I always ask is that, when a client comes in to see me, is how committed are you? Because if you're mentally not there and you're mentally not committed, I can try to help you get there. But if you're not going to get there, it's very difficult to really get that mindset and to really focus on your changes, because making, as we know, habits take a while to break. And so it takes a lot of mental commitment. And it feels like a lot of work at first, but it only gets better. And so I always have to encourage my clients, you know, if you're coming in, if you're ready to make a change and you're mentally ready to make that shift, then, you know, seek out a dietitian, seek out someone that can help you and that can guide you, because that accountability piece is extremely key.
But I don't want to take any business away from you or anything like that, but can't somebody just like go online and say like, what foods should I be eating? Here are my concerns and just do a lot of research online and figure it out that way?
You know, there are a lot of resources online and sometimes that will work for, if sometimes it will work for, you know, an individual, but oftentimes what I see is there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of confusion. There's so many different ways of eating and how to eat. And as you know, I'm sure. And so I believe in that you really have to individualize a plan. I think that when someone comes to me, I think they're looking for help. They're not looking for, you know, just some basic plan, basic recommendations, because I believe everyone's needs are different. Their goals are different. Their desires are different. Their food choices are different. So I think that's a huge benefit of seeking out a dietitian to work with, or, you know, a nutritionist or whoever, just so you can get that individualized plan. However, like I said, in some situations, they might not need that and they might be able to find something that works for them great right online. As long as it's wholesome, real foods, that's definitely what I'd look for.
Yeah, I think you can't go wrong if you just, if you're like talking to your clients and giving them advice. And if you say, look, when you go to the store, instead of getting processed foods, go for the whole foods, the fruits, the vegetables, and, you know, anything mm-hmm. that's whole. And I think pretty much if you do that, you're really not going to go wrong.
I would agree. I think too, just focusing on balance, always, you know, trying to have a source of protein, carbohydrates, a good healthy, you know, some veggies, healthy fats, you know, really trying to incorporate that balance is also important with each one of your meals. And two, when you're in the grocery store, all the wholesome real foods don't come with labels. They don't come with ingredients that you have to read. And so most of the foods in your cart, when you leave the grocery store, they shouldn't have a lot of labels. You shouldn't have a lot of, you know, food labels to have to read.
That's right. Like apples generally don't come with labels on them.
Exactly.
Right. Unless it says like to something like Fuji apple or something like that. So, you know, we talked a little bit and you know that I've recently become vegan and you're not. And I'm not going to hold that against you because I, as you know, I respect what, you know, it's a personal decision totally. But do you work with many vegans at all?
In this, honestly, I can honestly say I do not. I don't. I've worked with vegetarians and I've worked with vegetarians that had interest in going vegan. But I, like you, I believe that, you know, what I practice, I also preach, but I'm okay with adjusting my recommendations based on what that individual desires.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, I'm totally fine with that. I've told my listeners many times that I try to give the best advice possible. And it was just, it's a recent thing. So I can't, there's no way I'm going to say to all of my listeners, you've got to go vegan right now because it's right. It's fairly new with me anyway. So look, it's, you know, it took me 59 years. So, you know, I've got time to work on them, Stacey. I've got time to work on you too. So don't worry. I'm not worried about that.
and vice versa.
Oh, okay. Okay. We can certainly talk because I'm very happy to talk about any of that stuff. But so tell me, what kind of grocery store do you actually go to? Do you go to like a big supermarket or kind of like a smaller mom and pa organic type place? Where do you like to go?
Right. I really, you know, a big part of the food that I purchase and the food that I'm consuming, I really like to support local as much as I possibly can. So whether it's going to the farmer's market on Saturday, I enjoy going up, you know, going to the farmer's market in our area and getting as much produce as I can. They do have locally produced meats. And I also, there's a really nice co-op. I'm very rural, so there's not a whole lot of options, but I really try to make it work. But like I said, I think the most important part is that you know where your food's coming from. And that's important to me. And that's what I encourage others, you know, to also support, you know, support your local farmers, your local growers, because you know that it's good quality food. I also support, you know, I go to the local grocery store and pick up as much as I can there too. So I really, I guess I spread where I purchase my food.
Yeah, good for you. Give them, you know, keep them all in business. What do you do about organic? Do you pretty much shop organic for certain things or try to get organic most things or no organic at all? What do you do with that?
I would say it's a variation. I think that not all, you know, you go to the farmer's market and not all of them have that, you know, organic stamp. And that's okay. They might produce and they might grow their vegetables organically, but they haven't gone through the process of being stamped organic. So again, I look at what the source is and so that I know that it is good quality. Because I think that's a huge part. You know, I do eat meat but I also am very careful about the meat that I'm purchasing. I want to make sure it's coming from a good quality. Same with fruits and veggies. I want to make sure that it's, you know, it's not inhumane. Like there's so many different parameters that make it a good quality that I look for.
Interesting, because before my wife and I went vegan, we did the exact same thing. So here's what we did. We live in a pretty rural area as well. I was telling you, I don't even have cable or anything here. We, you know, everything's satellite where I'm living. So we have a lot, needless to say, we have a lot of farms around us, and we would seek out some really good farms that were, growing their own vegetables and producing eggs and beef and pork and things like that. And we felt really, really comfortable because, yeah, it's locally grown. We talked to the farmers and they said, yeah, we take great care of our animals and they're free range and they're not fed antibiotics and all that. So we did that for a while, and that's really, really good. Quite honestly, the dilemma we got into was one of the big reasons we went vegan, and it's certainly for health, but one of the big reasons we went vegan is just because I started doing a lot more research about animals, and I love animals so much. And, you know, they've got feelings. They feel pain. Listen, Stacey, I had the exact same dilemma. And I said it to my listeners on the show. I said, look, it's definitely a dilemma because I love animals, but I think it's good to eat them. But I'm seeking out farms that really take good care of them. And we did this for a while, but I don't know. I guess just thinking about it for so long and then seeing all these things online and talking to vegan friends about what really goes on behind the scenes. And I'm not here trying to tell you because you're not going to become vegan. But that's, I'm just telling you the reason we did, because it had a lot to do with the care of the animals. It's pretty sad. So that's why we went. But I was in the exact same situation you're in, just getting good locally produced foods from farms. I love it. Love it.
Right. And I think the other thing to seek out too is community supported agriculture businesses, because I'm a part of a CSA. Are you familiar with that as Dave?
Yes. I'm just reading a book that mentions that as well right now.
Yep. So what you do is you purchase a share, mm-hmm. and then each week the gardener will, you know, package up all the vegetables that they grew in their garden, and then you pick it up. So then you have vegetables for the whole week. And it's fun because you get new vegetables that you've never tried, or, you know, whatever it is, fruit, vegetables, and you can do some researching and create new recipes or try a new recipe with a new vegetable you never tried. So I always encourage people to seek out CSAs as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're doing it right for sure. There's no question. I've got a pressing question, because this is something that's bothered me for years, and I'm hoping you have my answer for me right now, because it's just something, and I think a lot of people have this kind of trouble, and the trouble is in my refrigerator and pantry, because, you know, over time, you know, I switch, eating patterns and things like that. And of course, now I'm vegan, and so I had to clean a lot of stuff out. But here's the problem. Like, I could open my pantry right now, and my wife is at Yoko. Actually, Yoko is normally the co-host on the show, and she's in Japan right now. So you just have me. Sorry about that. But over years, we've accumulated just a lot of stuff that kind of goes to the back of the pantry, to the back of the fridge. Some of it's kind of old, but you kind of forget about it. And like weeks go by and months go by, and sometimes even years go by, and I've got this stuff all in there. So, and this has been a terrible problem for me, and I'm just assuming it's a problem for everybody, because I want to almost go through and like just say, okay, I'm going to start from scratch. I'm going to go into my pantry and fridge and just throw everything out and just get rid of everything and then start from scratch, because I know everything's going to be new and fresh and to my liking right now. But let's face it, it's kind of expensive to do that. It's a waste. So what kind of advice can you give me and any listeners that just haven't really done like a purge of their pantry or fridge lately? And maybe it's almost like it's too overwhelming. Is there like an easy way to go about this? Is I want to do it.
I guess I would start in your pantry or your refrigerator, whichever you choose. And what I actually do, what I personally do, because I don't like clutter. I'm kind of, you know, obsessive compulsive about that. I'll actually, once a month, I'll open my fridge and I will pull out everything, and I'll clean off the shelves. I will take out, you know, if I haven't consumed a food in how many years it's been there too long, I will just toss it or get rid of it, feed it to the birds, whatever. So I think it's what you're in your pantry and what's in your fridge is what you're going to put into your body. So I do think it's important to always try to keep, you know, your shelves stocked and all of the good, healthy foods available and visible. But I think what I would do, I mean, what I'd recommend for you is just to take a half a day, pull out everything in your fridge, you know, clean off the shelves, clean it up, you know, throw out any of the foods that you're probably not going to eat or you haven't consumed in, you know, how many months, years, whatever. And then just, you know, you just feel so much better too when it's done. Like, you feel healthier. You haven't even eaten anything or made a food decision, but you just feel healthier because your fridge is clean or your pantry's all, you know, organized. So
I love the idea. I think I'm going to do it really soon, because Yoko's in Japan. She's going to be in Japan for another week or so, and she's going to come back and everything. I'm going to rip everything out of there, clean off the shit. When she comes home, we're going to have a clean fridge and pantry with only the foods that we really want to eat, and anything that's certainly over one decade old, we're going to get rid of. But probably anything
that would be a good starting point.
Then we'll start with one decade, no, seriously, probably anything. I'll have to like pick an amount of time. Like, if I know something's been in there longer than blank amount of time, I'm just going to get rid of it. Like, because if it's there for a certain amount of time and we haven't eaten it, we're not going to eat it. It's taking up space there. And it's also pretty bad feng shui. It's just not good.
Exactly. And I also say too, if, you know, in a family that has, you know, and I don't have any kids personally, but in a family that, you know, does have children, they're always like, well, what do I do about my kids? Or what do I do about my husband? But if it's something that you're not going to eat and that you don't feel is healthy for yourself, it's probably not healthy for them either. And although that adjustment time might be frustrating, eventually they will just get used to not having those foods available.
Yeah, very true. I like that. The kids, set a good example for the kids, and don't be eating all organic whole foods and great stuff and then feed your kids chicken nuggets for dinner. That, you don't do that. Just, you know, teach your kids the right way to do it. So that's good stuff. Hey, listen, we have a question from Dawn Patrick, and it's a pretty common question. It's not the first time we've been asked this question, but I want to see how you answer it. Her question is, how do I satisfy my sweet cravings without blowing my healthy eating? So is there a way, because so many people have like written into me or called and said, hey, like, I just love eating something sweet, but I know I shouldn't be eating an ice cream sundae, or I shouldn't be eating like a chocolate bar or something like, but although like, you know, real chocolate, real dark chocolate, I think is okay. But how would you answer that? Somebody that loves sweets, but we know the junk is not good. What do they eat?
I have a lot of clients or a lot of individuals that come to me, and many of them are working on getting, you know, sugar is an addiction. It is a true addiction. And it takes time to get to resolve that and or to overcome it. But I think at first, if you can shift your, you know, consuming your, getting your sugar craving or your sweets from fruit, go to fruit and our dried fruits instead of all the chocolates and candies and baked goods and those types of treats. But sugar is a true addiction. So really think about, you know, how much water have you, another thing is making sure you're hydrated, making sure you've eaten a well-balanced meal. As far as a sugar craving, it is definitely one of the most challenging things that some of my clients have to overcome in order for them, and mentally, it's a battle, but it is also sometimes a habit too. So you have to remember, like, is it a habit or is it a craving? And the best thing is just to get it out of your system, because eventually that craving will pass. That sugar addiction will pass.
We are totally on the same page. I have, you know, I don't have a whole lot of like hard, fast rules. I don't say to my followers or my listeners, like, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, with a few exceptions. And Stacy, one of my rules is I tell them, and I've told them from day one on this show, you got to get rid of the sugar and the desserts, because, you know, I want you to be eating healthy, but get rid of the cakes, the pies, the cookies, mm-hmm. the ice creams, the, you know, the things like that, because you're right, it's an addiction. And you know something? I think a lot of my listeners don't really believe this, but what you said is so true. When you eliminate them, like, you might have to go through a little bit of cold turkey and just say, I'm not going to eat it. And after a period of time passes, you really don't crave them anymore. I mean, the craving is gone, the habit. You don't need that sugar fix anymore, and we all know it's a poison. It's really good. It's gonna kill you. There's no question about it. So, I agree.
Exactly.
We've got to get the sugar out of our diets. I'd say 100%, or as close to 100% as possible. Now, of course, somebody's gonna say, "Well, look, you know, fruits have sugar." Well, of course they have sugar, but that's kind of a more of a healthier sugar. And I also don't want you to overdose on fruits either, because you're gonna get too much sugar if you eat like a whole watermelon. But you know, in moderation. But, you know, I think a few shows ago, Stacy, somebody was asking me, well, what's better if I'm craving sugar, is it better for me? And I might not get this exactly right, but it's close enough. Is it better for me to eat an ice cream sundae with artificial sweetener on it or something like that? Or is it better for me to eat, yogurt, frozen yogurt with whipped cream or something like that? She gave me two choices. And I said, listen, neither. Don't eat either of those, because they're both junk. They are total junk. Stay away from them. Have a nice fresh fruit, or get a NutriBullet and put the fruit in there and mix it up and get that smoothie that Stacy was talking about at the very beginning of the show. That's really healthy, and it's sweet enough to satisfy you, I think.
I think you're exactly right too. And the other thing about artificial sweeteners, although they're not sugar, they still aren't going to help. Your mind still thinks it's sweet, so it's not going to help a sugar addiction. When you say, well, I've cut out sugar, but now I'm having these artificial sweeteners, your mind still thinks it's sugar. It's still a sugar addiction. You're still craving that sweetness. So, and artificial sweeteners are something that I completely avoid. and recommend avoiding. But so I think you're right. Eventually you're going to find fruit as just as satisfying once you, you know, eliminate all those baked goods and cookies. And when you eat those, the desserts, the, you know, the pies and things like that, a little piece is all you're going to need every once in a while.
Absolutely agree with that. I was just going to ask you something was just on my mind. I was just going to ask you this and now I just forgot. I had a great little follow-up to that, but, I know what I was going to say. Back to the artificial sweetener thing. You're totally right on about that because not only are they horrible chemicals that are probably going to kill you, but you're right. It tricks your body into thinking it's sweet. So that stimulates the pancreas and you're creating insulin. And that's
exactly.
And the whole chain reaction is, it's so funny. Here's the thing, Stacey. When I'm typically traveling on a plane and I'm next to somebody, I want to be very kind about this, but somebody that's that really could stand to lose some weight and they are drinking a diet soda. I'm thinking to I really want to get into a conversation and say, look, you know, please, if you're trying to lose weight, getting a diet soda is not the way to do it. It's actually going to make you fatter. And they do. It does. It's really mm-hmm. bad, really horrible for you.
I agree. And like you said, it messes with your insulin levels, your blood sugar levels, which we know, you know, one of the most important parts, you know, pieces to weight loss is having a good balanced blood sugars. And by drinking a diet soda, it's chemically just too much on the body.
Yeah, no question. And Stacey, I've got to tell you, I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. There's so many more things I want to ask you. I think we're just kind of getting into it. We're just getting warmed up now. Yeah. I was going to ask you so many other questions I know you got some cool recipes. So let me ask you this. If we're going to end the show now, just because we're out of time, but can I bring you back sometime? We've got so many more things we could help my listeners, learn and share some of your recipes and all that. Would you come back?
I would absolutely love that. I love spreading the word of good health and good nutrition and real food. So definitely.
Excellent. Well, I will tell you, you're really, really good at what you do. Share with my listeners your website. Cause I know, I think your Facebook page is where you really like to steer your people. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. My Facebook page is, and you can maybe post it somewhere, but Stacy's Dietitian Mission. And then my website is I just actually got a website developed. It's dietitianmission.com.
I love it. Love it. So dietitianmission.com. Take you to her website and Stacy's Dietitian Mission on Facebook and follow Stacy. Like her Facebook page. She's got all kind of cool posts and recipes and a lot going on there. A lot of followers. So, Stacy, I want to just thank you for taking time out of your day because I know you're really busy. You got a lot of stuff going there to be on our show, Slice Your Age. And we'll talk. We'll have you back and we'll share some more great stuff with my listeners. But until then, again, thanks so much.
And thank you, Dave, for having me on.
Sure. See you later, Stacy.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.